just because that patient has left our doors at the hospital doesn't mean they're still not our patient.
Welcome to Quality Time, Sharing Pie. When experienced quality improvement staff from critical access hospitals across the country sit down together and serve up their lessons learned, strategies, tips, and ideas from their in-the-field performance improvement experience. In this session of Quality Time Sharing Pie, mentors Linda Webb from Pulaski Memorial Hospital in Winnemac, Indiana, Stacy Karvosky from Wallowa Memorial Hospital in Enterprise, Oregon, and Tammy Sattel from Floyd Valley Healthcare in Lamars, Iowa, share the varied approaches their teams have used to reduce avoidable hospital readmissions.
My name is Linda Webb. I'm the nursing officer at Pulaski Memorial Hospital in Winnemac, Indiana. We're located in northwest part of Indiana, about 2 hours south of Chicago and 2 hours north of Indianapolis. So it kind of gives you where we're located. We're a critical access hospital with an average daily census of about 7. And our ER volumes are around 400 a month.
So I'm Stacy Karvosky. I'm the Quality Improvement Director and Risk Manager for Wallowa Memorial Hospital, located in Enterprise, Oregon. We are a very small frontier critical access hospital located in Northeast Oregon. We are 4 hours from Boise and about 6 hours from Portland. So we're at the northeast corner of Oregon. Our average daily census is about 4, and our ER volumes are about 250 a month.
Hi, my name is Tammy Sattel. I'm the RN Quality Coordinator at Floyd Valley Healthcare, also involved in patient experience and utilization review work here. Floyd Valley Healthcare is located in Lamars, Iowa. We're in the northwest part of Iowa.
So this podcast is about how your hospitals work to prevent readmissions, and readmissions are so complicated. And I know you each had different areas that you were focusing on. Tammy, we'll go in this order. Tammy, if you would go first, and then Stacy and Linda. So I'll turn it over to you, Tammy.
Our journey regarding readmissions actually began several years ago. I believe it was as far back as 2014, 2015. Reviewing the data from our Iowa State Hospital Association, we noticed that our facility was a bit higher than the state average for readmissions. And you know, that tends to dent one's pride a bit, just like at most critical access hospitals. Our patients are our neighbors, our friends, our families. And we just knew that we wanted to do better for our community. So intentions really were to reduce our readmissions, just more fully understanding our shortcomings and seek out opportunities for improvement. And then to do that by focusing on collaboration as we made efforts to improve. Our team here really gained momentum from hearing different presentations. We heard about community coalitions. We also participated in programs through our Avera Health System here and heard about initiatives related to care transitions. So those things were really key in launching our one key takeaway as we chose to pursue was the community coalition concept. So in putting that work together and making that community coalition concept our own, we put together a countywide team. It included clinical representatives from each care facility in our county and each assisted living, included our local primary care clinic, home health, public health agency. We had a lot of hospital representation, nursing, discharge planning, quality, social services. That core group really was key in developing this coalition. Through the coalition, we were able to identify and address gaps in day-to-day communication processes, just little things that we would do on handoff that made for lack of clarity or made for a lot of work on the receiving end of things. For instance, something as simple as a Tylenol order. We would dismiss people from the hospital with an order that said Tylenol 1 to 2 every 4 to 6 hours as needed. And when a nursing facility would get that order, they oftentimes staff med aids, and those people aren't able within the scope of their practice to make those decisions. So the care facilities were each time having to follow up with the physician and get a more specific order. And when we realized that, we just took care of that problem from the get-go and eliminated some of that rework. A group also developed a lot of standardized checklists for exchange of information, established a routine for post-discharge calls to the care facilities just to make sure that everything was very clearly communicated and allowed us to continually work on gaps. Just in general, gave a better sense of trust and building in closer relationships. We were able to put a face with the name, made it a lot easier to reach out with questions ongoing. So really felt like a good program, and we do still continue to meet less frequently than we had, but a couple times a year we'll get together. Another initiative that we've really embraced with our readmissions reduction program is to do a resource navigation visit. And that's a visit that's free of charge to all of our discharged patients, whether it's geriatric population or OB population, pediatrics, anybody really, to do that free through a grant through our state public health department. Doing those visits really lets us assure that our patients are set up for success. We can get in the home, see if they really understand their meds, if they actually obtained them, just kind of assess their knowledge of their treatment plan. We can look at environmental factors that might be an issue and kind of there is an adequate caregiver situation. So those visits have really been key in reducing readmissions, and sometimes it even leads to that they do qualify for actual home health services. And that collaboration with our public health department has been very nice.
This is Linda. Tammy, great work on that collaboration. One of the cuts for me that I'm really impressed with, discharge calls back to the facility and those handoffs and focusing on that handoff communication, because I feel that that's an area that we can improve upon, because we think, oh, they're going to a long-term care facility. We've given their instructions. Now it's they're taking over that care. But being that resource, doing those calls, you know, we do follow-up phone calls with our patients who are discharged home. But I really like that touching base with the facility to say, hey, do you have any questions? I really appreciate you sharing that. And the work that you did collaboratively throughout your community is really impressive. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you. It's really been enjoyable to feel like we're meeting the needs of our patients and our community partners.
Our readmission journey began probably about 4 or 5 years ago when we put together our readmission reduction group that involved behavioral health, DHS, all the clinics, providers, mental health providers, Connections, who does Meals on Wheels and meals for folks. And we started getting together to figure out how we could reduce readmissions. Our journey's been a rocky one due to staff changes and position changes and who's responsible for what. But I think we're finally in a good state now and we're stable. We've got everything figured out on who does what. But one thing that came up in our quality improvement area was our EMS is having a lot of frequent calls to the same houses. So we roped them in with our readmission reduction as well. And we tried to figure out how we can help, how readmission reduction can help reduce the number of EMS calls to the same locations. Because what we found was that most of those calls that EMS is going on for lift assists, they fell out of their chair and they just wanted somebody to come help them get up. They refused transport. Those people were our multi-visit patients. They were the ones that would come in and they were admitted. They always ended up being a readmission. So trying to work on helping to reduce the EMS call volume, but also helping to connect those patients with services and make sure that they have the services they need. What we have done is we use the Unite Us platform, a community-wide platform that we just started using last year. So all of our clinics in our community are Unite Us. The hospital, I'm on Unite Us, our social workers on Unite Us. Behavioral health is, community connections, folks that take care of seniors, caregivers, they're on that as well. Tried to figure out how can we use that platform for referrals, and it is for referrals. So you can get on Unite Us and say, okay, this person has a transportation issue, do a referral to Community Connections, and Community Connections will contact that patient and see how they can help with the transportation issue. So what we've done to help the EMS situation is when EMS goes on a run with these multi-visit patients, if they see their medications are awry or they see that they need grab bars or they see they need something, physical therapy, they will have that patient sign a consent for social work to contact them and for us to be able to put in contact a primary care provider. So EMS trying to contact primary care via texting, and that wasn't working. So our social worker now has access to the EMS record. So she can get on there and see that that's a multi-visit patient. And she will then get on the UniteMS platform and do a referral to primary care or to whatever service they need. So a referral for a nurse sit, for a care coordinator visit. And so then the care coordinator will know, okay, this patient is having trouble in certain areas, and they will connect with that patient. They will either go to the house or they will call them and they'll make sure that they have a visit with primary care. And so now with the UniteMS platform, EMS knows that that happened. And so we're able to close the loop and know that, okay, that patient was seen, they've signed the release, referral was done to care coordination or transportation or some other service that the patient needs. And then by getting on the UniteMS platform, we can see that that referral was done and what the outcome was. So that's actually helped connect those patients with the services they need and to make sure that they're connected and everybody can see that the closed and the follow-up has been done. We have seen a reduction in the number of calls going to those same households. We're seeing the reductions with the use of that, and I think that's helping to ease the burden of our EMS call volumes for patients that really don't need transport and helped connect those patients to the services that they need.
Hey, this is Tammy. Stacey, I just think that the involvement with the EMS is just so interesting. You know, every community has those calls where they just need a lift assist, and it just makes so much sense to look at that and know that those folks are having some needs that are potentially unaddressed, and to get the right referrals made based on those frequent calls is wonderful.
Yeah, EMS is, you know, they're another set of eyes in the house. And since they are obviously medical, they're looking at other things other than just helping that patient out of the chair or whatever they need. So nice having that other set of eyes in the household that can help care for that patient.
Absolutely.
So our readmission story started back in 2017, 2019, sitting in a PI meeting, and scorecard results came out and part of that care compare through CMS. And yeah, we didn't look so good. The focus was on the heart failure readmissions at the time. And so we started putting a team together in 2000. And some of the things we wanted to focus on is making sure that our order sets went up to date, looking at our discharge instructions and making sure that we have relevant up-to-date information. So again, wanting to focus on that foundation, our order sets, our discharge instructions, and what that looks like. Pulled a team together, not only getting nursing involved, but also getting cardiopulmonary, respiratory involved. How do we connect our patients post-discharge to cardiac rehab? Because heart failure is one of those approved diagnoses to help our patients. Rural health clinics, from that transition of care piece, having them at the table was very helpful. Having pharmacy at the table. So to Tammy and Stacy's point is making sure that you've got all that support. Mm-hmm. Ours just more internally, as opposed to maybe some of those transition of care, and I'll touch on that a little bit. We have zone sheets. We've had them for years. They're what we use for discharge instructions. They're color-coded, green, yellow, red. It's education that the patient can slap up on their refrigerator and say, am I having these symptoms today? What should I do? We also felt it was important from that patient family engagement that we share our current zone sheets with our patients and say, do these make sense? Are these helpful? Is this going to be beneficial when you're discharged? One time I heard a speaker say, nothing about me without me. And sometimes we tend to make changes at the hospital, but we fail to include the most important person, which is our patient and family. Our patients did appreciate our zone sheets, had some little tweaking recommendations, and so we made those. I know part of the success is having champions that own this work, whether that's a clinical leader who has a great rapport with our providers and our staff, but also having a physician champion. So when we have our programs and we roll those out, they're that voice that goes in front of the medical staff and explains why we need to make these changes. So I think that leads to success in the program. And you've got that ownership and that responsibility. So that's very helpful. The other thing, when we talk from the patient family perspective, we are part of the Indiana Hospital Association. We are part of the HQIC, the Hospital Quality Improvement Collaborative, which is funded through CMS. And they've partnered with Cynosure. And Cynosure has some really neat tools and education opportunities. Readmission Discovery Tool is one of those items that we use. Were they unable to obtain or take their prescribed medications? Did they have any issues understanding the discharge instructions? Were they able to get to an appointment? Were there any specific social determinants of health that prevented their success at home and maybe created that readmission, such as food insecurities, transportation issues, or housing? We've seen improvement with heart failure numbers, our readmissions for heart failure, but we feel that it's important that we are still looking at all readmissions. So when you focus on heart failure and we've seen improvement there, how do we spread that then to other readmissions, say for COPD or any general type of readmission? So
I have a couple questions. I love the zone sheets you've created. I have one for CHF, but how do you engage staff to actually give those to patients? Because they are helpful information, because they give them the kind of the information they need at a glance on when they should seek help.
We have a discharge folder, the zone sheets we had developed several years ago, and we have them for our top probably 20 diagnoses. And that's part of the discharge education that goes into that folder. And we monitor education from a PI perspective to make sure that the information is being given. Now, with our electronic medical record, you can click on Lexicomp discharge instructions were given. So we actually had to build that to say the zone sheets were given so the nurse can click on that. So then there's that documentation too. It's part of the discharge flow sheet in our electronic medical record. The other thing, when Tammy talked about that follow-up call with the nursing home, sending the zone sheet with our patients that go to the nursing home. So it could be posted on their bulletin board in their room. So when family members come and they're sitting and talking with grandma and she's complaining about her feet getting tight, that part of it is to help educate family members as well, even when they go not just home, but to a long-term care facility.
Linda, I really like your readmission patient interview. I think that's just really key to picking up on issues that we might not have even recognized, but even better than that, to take that information like you are and use it more broadly to look for gaps where you can just kind of solve those issues for other patients as well. That's really great.
Yeah, thank you.
So being quality improvement leaders and thinking about the ingredients in the recipe for successful performance improvement, which we call PIE, which one of the ingredients does each of your initiatives primarily focus on?
Our focus area as we look at the PIE recipe touches on many of the ingredients, but in particular, the culture that promotes teamwork and communication. As we work with that community collaborative, it's a team. It's all the different entities from the primary clinic to a hospital and discharge planning, home health agencies, certainly the care facilities, and that we're all moving in the same direction. We all know the processes and workings of each other that make things line up and succeed is key. And then, of course, patient involvement as well, to be a partner in that.
Great. Thank you. How about you, Stacy?
I would say one of the main things for us is committed staff. I think our staff are very committed to help these people succeed in their homes, and they're willing to go that extra mile to go out to the home, make those referrals, go back if they need to. I mean, EMS has gone back, cardiopulmonary has gone and helped patients in their home. We have a culture in our organization that really is about the patient and the patient's why we're here. And I also think that engaging patients and families, because for patients to be willing to sign that consent form and have somebody call them and talk to them and come out to their home is a big deal, that they want to be engaged in their care and they want that help. So I think without the patients being willing to let staff call them and do those referrals, it wouldn't work.
My perspective, when we look at the different elements for the success for any type of performance improvement, it's the culture that promotes teamwork. communication. And then once we have processes in place, it's that accountability. Everyone's doing their role and that you're measuring that as well. Make sure that when those patients come in, they can ask them about the different things they should be watching for heart failure and making sure that they're doing appropriate follow-ups. The one thing from that accountability or that teamwork is just because that patient has left our doors at the hospital doesn't mean they're still not our patient. Part of our community, and how do we communicate to one another to make sure that those patients are successful? And I think, Tammy, you said it earlier, this is our community. So that teamwork, communication, and holding each other accountable is very important.
Quality Time, Sharing Pie, was produced by Stratus Health with funding through Rural Quality Improvement Technical Assistance, a program supported by the Federal Office of Rural Health Policy, to help critical access hospitals across the country move from quality reporting to quality improvement. Want another serving of pie? Or have a burning question about rural quality improvement? Visit www.stratushealth.org/QIMentors.